Father, we thank you that you hear us at all times. Even when we're at our lowest point, Lord, you hear us. Even when we're struggling and we've lost our faith even sometimes, you hear us, Lord. Those are the times you carry us. Father, in the name of Yeshua, I just pray, Lord, that you would touch every life that's here. Those who need your healing power, Lord, manifest your healing. Those who need financial help, Lord, you are our provider. Those who need miracles, you are the God of miracles. And what's impossible with man is possible with God. You are the God of the impossibilities. You make them possible. Because there's none like you, O Lord. There's none like you, O Lord. And we just trust you, Lord, that as we pray, as we lift our prayers before you, Lord, that you hear them, O Lord, and take action. And in Yeshua, everything is yes, amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, O Lord. Thank you, O Lord. The Lord is so good. The Lord is so good. Yes, there's no name like that name, Yeshua. No name under heaven which we can call upon and be healed, saved, restored, renewed, refreshed, rejuvenated, resurrected. It's all in that name. That's a wonderful name.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Father, in the name of Yeshua, I want to thank you for your word. I want to thank you that your word is alive. Your word is not dead. I thank you that Yeshua is alive, that he's not dead. I thank you, Lord, that in Yeshua we have eternal life and victory over sin and death. We thank you, Lord. In the name of our Messiah and our King, just bless this time, Father, in Yeshua's name. Amen. Today I'm giving a message I'm calling a season of miracles. A season of miracles. Well, let me start off with something that I considered a miracle. The 1908 World Series. Donnie, you remember the 1908 World Series? He was there. During the 1908 World Series, it matched the defending champion Chicago Cubs against the Detroit Tigers in a rematch of the 1907 series. It was the first ever rematch of this young event known as the World Series. And the Cubs won it in five games for the second consecutive World Series title. Now, the 1908 World Series was significant for being the last World Series championship that the Chicago Cubs would win until 2016, until this past month, the Chicago Cubs, after 108 years, won the World Series. You can say yay, but there's a reason for I'm saying this. The reason. I'm going to tell you in a minute. Also, let me tell you, on that game in 1908, there was someone also playing that game. Anyone ever hear of Ty Cobb? That was a long time ago. One of the greatest players of all time played in that series for Detroit. Now, when I was a young boy, 10 years ago, all my life I waited for the Chicago Cubs to win the World Series. All my life. As a young boy growing up in Chicago, I would run home after school so I could put on the television set to watch the Cubbies, as we call them, on TV. And year after year, they would have a dismal season, terrible season. Some seasons it would look like, oh, the Cubs might do it this year, and they would be doing great, and then they would lose 30 straight games or something. I mean, it was terrible, year after year. I thought I would never see them win the World Series in my lifetime. Thought, well, it's never going to happen. Never going to happen. I thought to myself, you know, it's going to have to be a miracle. Some kind of divine intervention for this to happen. But let me tell you, lo and behold, the miracle came. And even after the Cubs looked like they were going to lose it, down 3-1, they won 3 straight games to win the World Series. But that's not the important thing, okay? But that's a good thing. That's a good thing. And there's a reason for this, okay? Actually, I haven't watched the Cubs in probably 45 years or something. I'm serious. I was so disgusted with the Cubs. So disgusted. I remember talking with Josh back there. You all know my son Josh back there. A good-looking young man back there. Takes after his father. Some say after his mother. But anyway, I remember talking with him, and we agreed that the Cubs winning the World Series was a miraculous sign that pointed to and prophesied that Donald Trump was going to win the election. Because we thought if the Cubs could win after 108 years, something has opened up in the heavens. And we believe that the Chicago Cubs was a sign. It was a sign. This is truly the season of miracles. You know, on Hanukkah, we say, Nes Gadol Hayah Sham. A great miracle happened there, speaking of Israel. But what we can say now is, after this election, especially after the Cubs and after the election that just took place this Tuesday, we can rightly say, Nes Gadol Hayah Po. A great miracle happened here. And we saw a great miracle. So, why is this important? I'm glad you asked. Why is this important, and what does it mean for America and its people? And we're going to get serious now. I believe that the Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob has spared America. I mean that with all my heart. He has spared America. He has given us another chance. He has given us another opportunity to make America great again. But let me clarify something here. But President Trump is not the one who is going to accomplish this. President Trump is not going to make America great again. Only Adonai, only the Lord is able to do this. Only the Lord. But we, all of us in this room, we have a very crucial role in making this happen. If you have your scriptures, follow along with me or jot this down. We read in 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14. 2 Chronicles 7, verse 14. And this is a familiar scripture, but I believe it's a scripture for this time and this place because I believe it's speaking about what's taking place in this country now. 2 Chronicles 7, 14 says, "If my people who bear my name will humble themselves, pray, seek my face, and turn from the evil ways, I will hear from heaven, forgive their sin, and heal their land." People, I believe it's time. We need God to heal our land. We need God to heal America. We need to see the world, this world that we live in today, turned right side up. We need, as it said in the scripture, "If my people who bear my name," we, all of us here, we need to bear the name of God upon our foreheads. We need God's name to be upon our foreheads. We need to bear His name. And the reason that America has gotten itself in such a precarious, such a dismal condition is because the body of Messiah, the believers, the Christians, whatever you want to call them, have grown lukewarm. You know, in the 2008 and the 2012 election, where Barack Obama was elected, nearly half of all people who identified themselves as evangelical Christians or messianic, whatever they want to call them, nearly half did not vote at all. And I'm talking about tens of millions of people who call themselves evangelical Christians or believe whatever, didn't vote at all. And because of that, we allowed this country to get into the condition that we are in today. And those that did, many of them voted purely on racial reasons, ignoring biblical standards and ignoring biblical morals, godly morals, ignored it and voted for someone just based on race and not on God. Many were even led into deception by their pastors, by their ministers, by their leaders who fed them bad fruit and concentrated on worldliness instead of godliness. And that's why we're in the condition we're in today. And congregations, churches, synagogues, whatever you want to call them, are having a limited impact on society. Very limited impact. Because they fail to understand that the goal of the congregation, of the church, is not the church or the congregation itself, but it's the kingdom of God. That needs to be the goal. And this myopic perspective keeps the body of Messiah very divided among itself, very ingrown, unable to transform the cultural landscape in any significant way whatsoever. And this body of Messiah is supposed to be the key to the transformation of this culture. But it's not doing anything. Nothing. You know, I had been reading and studying before the election. You know, how is it? And, of course, going on that great source, known holy source known as the Internet. How should believers vote? Should it be Republican or should it be Democrat? You know, every voting choice we exercise ought to be for the candidate, for the platform, the party, or the policy that will best represent the values of the kingdom of God. That's how we should vote. The real question should be, how does God want us to vote when we vote? What is the heart of God? What is the mind of God? And this book here, these scriptures here, are the blueprint. It's the guidelines how we should make a proper judgment. Romans 13:1, book of Romans chapter 13:1 says, "For there is no authority except from God, and those that exist are put in place by God." You know, we need to remember that God is in charge. And He alone sits in the ultimate government over His creation. And I believe what we just saw take place is evidence and proof that it was put in place by God. But if we look again at this body known as the body of Messiah, the church, whatever you want to call it, through our apathy, our lethargy, we have allowed abortion to kill 60 million innocent lives since Roe versus Wade in 1973. 60 million lives destroyed. You cannot even fathom 60 million. We've allowed the LGBT movement to take over our society. It has. It's taken over our society, pervading every single area of our lives, everything we watch, everything we listen to, Hollywood, the White House. It doesn't matter. It's pervaded every area of society, from the White House down to our local school system. We've allowed our constitutional rights to be adulterated by executive orders and a liberal Supreme Court. We have allowed morals and family values to be thrown out the window and be replaced by societal norms. And it's got to stop. It's got to end. And it needs to start with you and me here. And we have seen support for the nation of Israel and the Jewish people threatened, and anti-Semitism rising dramatically throughout the world. And yes, we can say Satan, the evil one, the accuser, he is the one leading all these efforts to destroy. But we, as the body of Messiah, we have the power and authority to trample on snakes and scorpions. But we have not done that. We've allowed all these things to take place because we've been, through our, like I said, our apathy, our lethargy, we've allowed all these things to take place. Listen what Messiah Yeshua, listen what Jesus said in the book of Revelation, chapter 3. Starting at verse 15 and going through verse 19. Revelation 3, 15 through 19. Listen what Yeshua said. He said, "I know your deeds, that you are neither hot or neither cold nor hot. I wish you were either one or the other. So because you are lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I'm about to spit." Another translation says, "I'm about to vomit you out of my mouth. You say I am rich." Listen to this. "You say I am rich, I have acquired wealth, and I don't need a thing. But you do not realize that you are wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, and naked. I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire so that you can become rich, and white clothes to wear so that you can cover your shameful nakedness, and salve to put on your eyes so that you can see. Those whom I love I rebuke and discipline, so be earnest and repent." You know, as I was reading that scripture, especially as it's talking about not being hot or cold, being lukewarm, and then proclaiming, you know, we're rich and we've acquired all this on our own, I was thinking, you know, this kind of relates to this country, the United States, here. Because the United States does not realize the seriousness of its condition and the sickness in this country. Does not realize it. You hear people say, oh, this is the greatest country and things are going wonderful, the economy is wonderful, everything's beautiful, while 60 million babies are being aborted, while the LGBT movement is taking over America, while our rights and privileges are being removed and all these things. No, you're being deceived and fed a lie. And I think during this election, we have seen how the media has led us to believe a lie. The media lied throughout this election, made everyone believe it was different than what it really was, made the people think that there was no way that Trump could win the election, it was over before it even began, that Hillary would be our next president, that all those things that Obama started, all the LGBT stuff was going to now just go more and more and greater and everything else. The media fed us a lie. And all the polls fed us a lie. Well, it's okay. For generations, I believe, as I said, this speaks of America. America prided itself on its wealth, on its power, and on its influence throughout the world. But I believe that the United States had become fat on the miseries and sufferings of others throughout the world, while sacrificing its young to false idols and engaging in every form of ungodliness. This is why the Roman Empire fell. This is why all the great societies in this world fell, because they sacrificed their young. They got involved in every form of immorality, and kingdoms fell, and nations fell, societies crumbled. And this is the condition the United States is in here today. If you look at what's going on in the world today, taking place in Libya, Syria, Iraq, Iran, Egypt, throughout the whole Middle East and many places in the world, it's because the United States has interfered in the affairs of other nations, tried to force their will upon other peoples, have caused wars to take place, civil wars, revolutions. They funded revolutions. They funded rebels. The United States, and I agree totally, the United States created ISIS and its type. America was once the hope and dream of the world, has become a laughing stock. You should see the way they laugh at the United States in Europe and other places. And the United States has become a target for rebuke and criticism. But as it says in Psalm 33:12, blessed is the nation whose God is Adonai, who is the Lord, the people he chose for his own inheritance. And we need to see this country come back to God. And I believe we have an opportunity. I believe that what we've seen with the Cubs winning the World Series and Donald Trump winning the presidency, it's like the heavens have opened. Like a zipper. And the blessings of God can return. Something's happening in the spiritual realm. I don't totally understand it, but something's happened in the spiritual realm. In Matthew chapter 5, we have what is known as the Drash on the Mountain, or the Sermon on the Mount. And in Matthew 5, verse 1 and 2, we read these words. Matthew 5, 1 and 2. Now when Yeshua saw the crowds, he went up on the mountain. And after he sat down, his Talmudim, his disciples, came to him. And he opened his mouth and he began to teach, saying, and going forward to verse 13, "You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a blanket or a basket. Instead, they put it on a lampstand so it gives light to all the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men so that they may see your good deeds, your good works, and glorify your Father in heaven." People, we are called to be salt and light to this world. And we have not been. We have not been as individuals, as families, as congregations. We have not been. You know, salt had two purposes in the Middle East during the time of Yeshua, that first century. Because of the lack of refrigeration, salt was used to preserve food, especially meat, which would quickly spoil in the desert environment. Believers in the Messiah, Yeshua, are the preservatives to this world, preserving it from the evil inherent in the society of ungodly man whose unredeemed natures are corrupted by sin. We are to preserve the goodness in this world. Secondly, salt was used then as it is now as a flavor enhancer. In the same way that salt enhances the flavor of food, and I'm supposed to be laying off salt, okay? And it's painful. It's painful. In fact, Donnie is supposed to be laying off salt too, but he won't do it. Right, Linda? Yep. I love salt on my food, but I have to lower my salt intake for reasons. And where was I? Thank you, Lord. So it was used as a flavor enhancer. We as the followers of Messiah need to stand out as those who enhance the flavor of life in this world. Believers living under the guidance of the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit, and in obedience to the Messiah will inevitably influence the world for good, as salt has a positive influence on the flavor of food it seasons. And where there is strife, we are to be the peacemakers. And where there is sorrow, we are to be the ministers of Messiah, binding up the wounds. And where there is hatred, we are to exemplify the love of God and Messiah, Yeshua, returning good for evil. You see all the rioting going on throughout the country. 25, 30 cities throughout the country, even more now, rioting, saying, "He's not our president. He's not our president. He's not our president." Not only that, there's looting, there's rioting, there's burning of vehicles, there's burning of businesses. There's assault against police going on. People being arrested. It's getting out of control. A lot of you don't know, but many of these are paid protesters. They are being paid to protest. Some of them are getting $15 an hour to protest, to cause destruction to this nation. And in the analogy where Yeshua said we are to be the light of the world, the good works of Messiah's followers are to shine for everyone to see. The idea here is similar, that the presence of light in darkness is something which is unmistakable. The presence of believers in this world must be like a light in the darkness, not only in the sense that the truth of God's word brings light to darkened hearts of sinful man, but also in the sense that our good deeds must be evident for everyone to see. And indeed, our deeds will be evident if they are performed in accordance with the other principles which Yeshua mentions in this passage, such as the Beatitudes in verses 3 through 11 of Matthew 5. Notice especially that the concern is not that believers would stand out for their own sake, but that those who looked on might glorify your Father who is in heaven. They are to see our good works, the unbelievers, and glorify God. The passage clearly states that the difference between the believer and the world must be preserved. Therefore, any choice on our part which blurs the distinction between us and the rest of the world is a step in the wrong direction. And this can happen either through a choice to accept the ways of this world for the sake of comfort or convenience, or to contravene the law of obedience to Messiah Yeshua. So the role of the believer, the role of you and I, are to be salt and light in this world. And we should not compromise anymore. And we should not settle on anything other than what God has for our lives. Moreover, the status of salt and light is something which follows naturally from the believer's humble obedience to the commandments of Messiah Yeshua. If you follow his commandments, you will be salt and light to this world. It's when we depart from that spirit-led lifestyle of genuine discipleship that the distinctions between ourselves and the rest of the world become blurred and our testimony becomes hindered. Only by remaining focused on the Messiah, Yeshua, and being obedient to him can we expect to remain salt and light in this world. So once again, I believe with all my heart that God has given us another chance. God has been merciful. God has been merciful. God has given us another chance. He has given us another opportunity to make America great again. But let me tell you this. It's only going to happen. Only if we pray. That's the only way it's going to happen. The scriptures teach us in James, Yaakov, chapter 5, verse 16, that the effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. And I believe that the result of this election is because of the prayers that have been cried out to heaven. That's why I believe it turned out the way it did. You saw Mike Pence earlier. He's a strong believer, loves the Lord, strong supporter of Israel. I've heard, but I don't know absolutely for sure, but I've been told that Donald Trump has received the Lord recently. Joshua and I were watching a video of Donald Trump surrounded by people who were laying hands on him and praying for him. I believe it's our prayers that are going to change this world. And we need to keep it up, because the effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man and woman avails much. Through our prayers, we can see God do amazing things in our lives, in our families, in our cities, and in our nation. So let's all of us make a commitment that we pray for one another, and pray for our families, and pray for our cities, and pray for our states, pray for this country, and that we pray for our new President-elect Donald Trump, that we would pray for him. And when we do, not only will our lives improve, but we will see this country turn around and turn back to God. Regardless of what you may feel, or even if you voted contrary or different way, he is the president. He's going to be the president. That's not going to change. He's going to be the president. And we are told to pray for those who have authority over us. And we need to pray for our president. So everyone, please stand. And I want us to pray for Donald Trump. Because regardless of what, again, the media has been saying, the rioting that's going on, I believe without a doubt this is from God. It's evident that this country, a lot of the people in this country, thought different than the media and all the polls. And we were fed a lie. But God is in control. Father, in the name of Yeshua, that name that's above every name, we want to lift up President-elect Donald Trump to heaven. We lift him before you, Lord. Lift him to heaven and Mike Pence before heaven, Lord. We pray, Lord, that you would give them supernatural knowledge and wisdom and ability and understanding to lead this nation in godliness and holiness, that this would bring about a change in this country, that we would see from the very top down to the lowest governmental levels, local levels, that we would see a change take place. We would see society converted, changed, transformed, that we would see a demise or bringing down of a lot of the LGBT movement and the abortions, Lord, and liberal Supreme Court and all the things, Lord, that has brought destruction upon this nation. I just pray, Lord, in the name of Yeshua, that we would begin to see a turnaround, that things would change, Lord, that we would truly be once again one nation under God. And yes, Lord, under God, no longer under paganism, no longer under materialism, no longer everyone just looking for the American dream, but what God has for this nation. So, Lord, give our president and vice president wisdom, O Lord, to lead this nation. And I pray for unity, Father, in all this country, that the Republicans, the Democrats, the independents, that all of us would come together, Lord, that all disharmony and disunity would be bound and broken up in the name of Yeshua. That all this rioting and all this evil that's going on would cease and desist in the name of Yeshua. That we would see the power of God manifest and flow throughout this country, O Lord. That we would see healing for this nation, O Lord. Heal this nation. Heal this country, these people, O Lord. Bring us together. And we just pray, Lord, that you would continue to open up the heavens. Open up the heavens, Lord. Lord, these are signs of things that you're doing. We may not understand them all, Lord, but we know that they're from you and that you're in control and that you're the one bringing this all about. And we just want to thank you, Lord. And we want to just give you all the glory and all the honor. We want to give you all the praise and all the worship and all the majesty. You alone are worthy to be praised, O God. You alone. You alone, O God. In the name of Yeshua, the power and authority in that name, we thank you. In Yeshua's name, amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, O God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. May you say something?
Yes.